And now, it's time for the Yacht Club Show with Killer, Rev D, Dr. Jim, and Coach.
All right, well, welcome back to the Yacht Club Show. This is Killer, joined by Rev D, and looks like we have a, what is that, special guest
here? Look who's here. Look who, hey, wait a minute. Larry the Drummer says, welcome back, Dr. Jim-san.
What'd you think when Dr. Jim showed up in the studio in a kimono, though?
Well, I was wondering about that.
A little off-putting.
And Larry the Drummer wants to know if you got him a gift. Do you give him a t-shirt or something?
Konnichiwa, Larry-san.
Is that no?
I think he's been indoctrinated in the Japanese culture.
Rev-D-san.
Tell us about your travels.
It was unbelievable. What an unbelievable country.
Really?
Oh.
Let's tell us all about it.
Okay, so just picture this. So list, like, the top five things you would like to fix in this country.
And also, infrastructure,
border issues,
poverty,
mm-hmm. Education,
yep.
Crime, how about crime?
Yeah, that's five.
All right.
I want to fix one more thing.
What's that?
Long working hours.
Well, they have long working hours, but they don't start early. They start late.
Well, how late?
Whenever
you get up, huh?
If the stores don't open, a lot of stores, even restaurants, don't open until 10 o'clock in the morning. Like, if you want to go for breakfast, place doesn't open until 10 o'clock.
No kidding.
I mean,
they can sleep in.
They work long hours, but they have, on Wednesdays, they get out early.
It's spaghetti day. Spaghetti day.
I don't know. It could be, sushi day. They go out, it's hit the bar day.
Isn't that every day? Isn't that every night? Wasn't that the culture that they work long, then they go out at night?
Well, a couple of reasons there's so much nightlife there is their living quarters are usually so small that they can't entertain. So if you want to get together with a few people, it's easier to go to a restaurant or a bar.
Oh, they don't want to be cramps. They don't go home.
Right.
What you're saying.
Yeah. So that's your point, Mikey. But it's just phenomenal that these trains, 180 miles an hour.
It's
not just one train. I think it's going from one big city to another. The whole country, the train goes around the country at 180 miles an hour. And they're building a maglev train between Tokyo and Osaka, which is like, Tokyo's obviously the big city. Osaka's a big industrial city.
Mm-hmm.
The train will do 300 miles an hour between the cities. It's being built right now. They have stations.
Is this on magnets or something like that?
Yes, it's magnetic levitation.
Yeah.
It's magnets that just...
So there's no friction.
There's no friction on the... If the trains... If you want to catch the 804...
You better be there, huh?
If you come at 804 in 10 seconds, you're waiting by.
You missed it.
You're waiting for the next one.
Which is not a big catastrophe because it's like 15 minutes later.
So did you ride on the 180 mile an hour
train? Yes, I rode on both.
I don't think I've ever gone faster than 120 or something.
It feels... You know when it really gets you? It's like when you're standing on a station and it's a local station and the express train comes through. I mean, that is a sight to behold.
Huh.
It's coming through at 180 miles an hour. You think
it's a blur, huh?
It's not a blur, but it's like, it's your mind can't, something wrong with that train. It's going too fast.
Okay,
it's
out of control.
Does this train run within like Tokyo? Is this like the
same? Yeah. If you get on the train at
5th and Main in Tokyo.
Yeah. 5th and Main.
It's at 180.
And you want to go the 25th and
something. Yeah.
Well, it's not going to do 180. But if you want to go from, you know, Wall Street to Harlem,
yeah,
it might hit 150 or something.
Wow.
Like that.
Okay.
It'll do
wow.
It. It's just
this, so their transportation is all trains between cities and within cities to intercity.
Right.
Is what you're saying.
All around the island is this extensive train system. There's sidewalks, okay? The sidewalks have a 1 foot strip down the middle of them, and it's got indentations on it. It's for blind people.
Mm.
All the sidewalks for blind people. The airport has this line for blind people. The train stations are like airports. The train station in Kyoto is 8 stories high.
Holy cow.
And it's just open all the way up to the roof. There's no graffiti. There's no crime. There are no street people. There's young people with children all over the place. But they're just having 2 kids.
And that's not regulated by the government.
No.
That's just practical.
That's practical.
Yeah.
So they have 2 kids. Occasionally you might see somebody with 3 kids.
A Catholic family.
You kind of think of them as secular, but there's sort of this undercurrent of there is religious. It's almost being Japanese is almost a religion. So they have Shinto and Buddhism are the 2 religions. And they're sort of combined. So the Shinto is more. It's more like the Indian in that they have various gods for the trees and the rocks and. Mm-hmm. There is this, it's so peaceful, and the people are, there's no drama at all. We were there, okay, the 3rd night we were there, we got hit by a typhoon, and we were staying in Yokohama, and it's right on the Pacific. The typhoon came in on the Pacific. I woke up in the middle of the night, something woke me up. What woke me up was the building. The building was creaking.
Yeah.
And this wind, the wind was blowing like
the
90 miles
springs
an hour
or whatever. Yeah.
I pulled the curtain aside and I looked out the window. I said, oh, it's awfully foggy out there. It wasn't fog. It's just sheets of rain coming in. It was unbelievable.
So you even experienced a typhoon while
I had
you were
2
there.
Of them. 2
wow.
Typhoons. 2 typhoons. One came from off the Pacific and the other one came off the Sea of Japan. But we were all away on the Pacific side when the second one hit. We just had like inclement weather at that point.
Talk about getting the full experience.
It was just, but I don't know how to, I came home. I had dreams for like 10 days.
Yeah.
Just dreaming about all the stuff.
Yeah.
We went through. But, here's what I was going to say about no drama. Now, I granted they were speaking, all the TV was in Japanese, so
right.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, they had, so they could have been talking about the weather, but I never heard anything about the weather, right? Typhoon comes through. So,
boy, here? Oh, man.
Oh, no, they
Death Typhoon 2019.
Oh, yeah, there'd be.
That's all you'd be hearing.
Yeah.
This was, and we'd name it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Typhoon Theodore came through. Typhoon.
And you have reporters. You have reporters there on the coast, you know, for dramatic effect. Yeah.
They called it Typhoon Number 15. That was it.
Yeah.
Nothing.
It's the culture.
The culture.
The culture.
So there's a lot of honor.
Honor. Yes. Honor and politeness and never lose your cool, your patience.
Now, again, back to religion. I always perceived Japan is non-religious.
That's the way I was too, but you just see it subtly around.
Okay.
So for instance, if you're a tourist and you're going around to the temples,
uh-huh.
And you're a Christian, this is just a piece of art as far as you're
sure.
concerned. That's what I was going to
say. Yeah.
If you're Japanese, the Japanese are paying homage to the at the temple.
Huh.
Even though they're on the tour as well as you are. They don't have the surface trappings and they don't have But like all these temples have priests at them. They're active temples. There's thousands of temples.
Okay.
Being Japanese has religious significance. It's not like you're German. I mean, you're German, but everything about being Japanese is
there's a spiritual
this hint of spirituality and religiosity associated with it.
That's fascinating.
So in America, we had that at one time. Not to that degree, but there was a pride. and that's going away now.
Yes.
I mean, you know, for whatever reason. You think it's going away in Japan? Is it getting less sore or more sore, do you think?
I don't know. Time will tell. It's this generation, they do tend to be, the young Japanese do tend to be less religious. But you never know what happens as they get older. One of the things that really is hard to wrap your mind around, so they got an emperor, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is a direct descendant of the first emperor who came to be in 600 BC.
It's like the royal family in England. They have a prime minister.
Yes, yes. It's more
so the emperor is more, yeah, okay.
It's more ceremonial. But it's been continuous since 600 BC.
That's incredible.
So
it goes back a little further than the royal family.
Yeah. So up until, I think, I don't know enough about the history of it, but up until like the middle of the 1800s, they were a closed country. You didn't go into Japan. It's only when Perry sailed a gunboat into Tokyo Bay and he said, maybe we should listen to him. That's what he has to say. And then after that, they became westernized very fast. Culture.
Well, far as pop culture, I mean, you know, I'm sure you heard music while you were there. Was it American music or Japanese music? The American music scene or movie stars, you know, or is it pretty much local Japanese for that kind of culture?
If you went there and your eyes were closed, you would think you were in America.
Okay.
Coffee. Their coffee is great.
Starbucks?
They have Starbucks. Starbucks is probably the worst coffee I had while I was...
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
The coffee is unbelievable. So coffee is big. There's microbrews. I had a couple of good IPAs while I was
no
there.
No kidding.
Really. Yep.
Sign me up, man.
Pizza.
Sign me up for a foreign assignment.
Good pizza. Good
pizza.
So when we arrived, we were staying in Yokohama, which is like Southfield is to Detroit. So
okay.
It's real close.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't actually in Tokyo. So the next city we were going to after Yokohama was a place called Karuizawa. So it's sort of like a resort, like a Traverse City or something like that. So you get off at the main train station. And just north of the main train station.
The rain in Spain falls mainly.
Yeah, is this town. About two blocks into town, I passed by this place called Kevin's Bar.
Kevin's Bar.
Okay. There's a guy.
Kevin's Bar.
It would be. So we're going past Kevin's bar, and there's a guy sitting out there, you know, Caucasian.
Kevin?
It was Kevin. So we're going past Kevin, and I nod to him, and he says, "Hey, can I help you? Looking for something in particular?" I said, "Oh, no, we're just, you know, walking around town, seeing what's here. We just got in yesterday. We're here for a couple of days, and we're just checking things out." So they said to him, "So where are you from?" "So I'm from Michigan." "Michigan? Oh, yeah. What part?" "Southfield."
Really?
Yeah. So we go, "Oh, I'm from Novi." "Oh, yeah, you spent Novi on the wall and everything else like that." So he's been in Japan for 31 years. He went there, he went to Arizona State University, graduated, and then went to work in Japan. And
never left.
Never came back.
Is he married? Did he marry a Japanese?
He was married. He is not. I don't know if he is or was. He mentioned his wife. He retired at 48, so I guess he did okay.
She had a good life.
And his wife didn't want him hanging around the house, so he bought a bar.
I'll be darned.
So he's up at, he's got this bar, and it's just unbelievable. And then I got back to the hotel. I was talking to one of the girls at the ladies at the hotel, and she's kind of, the hotel we were staying at, we were the only Caucasians in the whole hotel. So we were kind of an oddity there. And so one of the young ladies I was talking with there said, so she's talking, she says, have you been up to Kevin's? I says, as a matter of fact, I met Kevin. I passed by, but they weren't open because he's only open like Thursday, Friday. Suddenly, he went into the bar business, but he's not totally committed. Right,
he's not totally committed.
He's not sure he has to do this.
He's only open 4 days a week. So, or he's only open for the weekends or something. I don't know what it is. It doesn't seem like he's overly burdened by it.
He's got enough money.
Yep. That was it. And then I saw John and Yoko used to go to this town for the summer. And I saw where there's a hotel up there that they used to stay in on the sightseeing
route. On the sightseeing route. This is the
room. All right. So while you were there, yes. They were changing the national sales tax to 10%.
Yes.
Okay. So if that were to happen here, if there was, let's say, a national sales tax or something, there'd be protests, there'd be people would be going crazy here.
No.
What did you see?
There's a little bit of concern because the last time they went from like 5% to 8% and people just stopped buying for a period of time. So the economy tanked for a short period of time.
So it's a silent protest.
Yeah, it wasn't even so much a protest. Like, I don't have money. That's money I don't have to spend now.
Yeah.
So then they went up to 10%. So on a percentage basis, they said this is a lot less than the previous one.
Ah.
And so they were hoping that this would not have as much of an impact. But it was a big deal.
Here's my question. I should know this. I look at it as a small island or set of islands or whatever. Are there any wide open spaces there? Probably not, right? Everything's pretty...
Well, it's very mountainous. So the mountains, are kind of, it's good news, bad news situations. The mountains, like the place we were in it's slightly northwest of Tokyo and it's a place in the mountains. Essentially, it's where people go for skiing and for the summertime.
Yep. Winter Olympics have been there. Right?
And then when you go north, when you go north of that part of Japan, it gets a little more rural. So you go like Hokkaido is the northernmost island.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the least populated. That corridor, so Tokyo has about, the city of Tokyo has about a population of about 13 million.
Wow.
And between Yokohama and some of the suburbs of Tokyo, they might be 30 million people. And the entire population of the island is about 120 million people.
Okay.
So along the coast, it's pretty crowded.
Yeah.
As you go inland, it's a little... It's more mountainous. It's a little more open.
I mean, just like Michigan, the great outdoors. Everyone likes to go out to the great outdoors.
Yeah,
and go
camp.
You can do that.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
I got to put that on my bucket list now. It's unlike anything you're going to see anywhere
else. Just to be in it.
It sounds like the closest thing to utopia.
But, you know, there is a uniformity there. It's just... So all the guys... When you're in the morning, you see people going to work. They're all dressed exactly the same.
Like
white
the
shirts,
IBM days, huh?
They're white shirts and black pants.
Yeah.
Some of the crazy guys might have brown shoes with their black pants, but they're
the mavericks.
They're the rebels. and then the women over there are trying—they're just elegant.
They're all Jackie O's kind of elegant.
It's like gorgeous in a classical, artistic sort of way, and very, like I say, very stylish and just us.
And you see the Aussies and the Americans
spitting on the street, tossing our donut.
Spitting out those sunflower seeds.
Yeah. I think we'll wrap on that. I mean, I could go on and on.
I could do. I know.
We might have to do a part two.
Yeah.
On the line, we've got Coach. Coach, We're a little late this evening because we've been listening to Dr. Jim, his adventures in Japan, and we've been hanging on every word. It's been really fascinating. So you're gonna have to listen to this this show to see what you missed.
I'll have to catch up on the segment.
It's like one of your book reports, you know. If you want to know what happened, you're gonna have to read the book.
Yeah.
We picked the top five problems that we have in this country that we need to address.
Yeah.
And the Japanese have fixed them all.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing place. It really is.
Hey, what you got for us this week, Coach?
Well, I got a movie review.
A movie review? Isn't that what we originally signed up, Coach, for?
Yeah, Coach is going to be a movie
expert. Because the Siskel and Ebert of the
Siskel, and it was the only way we were ever going to find out about movies.
That's
so
true.
That was our ulterior motive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was kind of a spur of the moment trip to Tammy and I took to the movies last Saturday.
What'd you see?
Well, we went and saw Judy. The
the
movie about Judy Garland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it was Renee Zellweger she played the lead, and she did a terrific job. I mean, she really looked like her, and she really had her down pat.
She is a good actress. I haven't seen her in anything in a long time, though.
A long time, yeah. I didn't really know that it was her until they ran the credits.
Wow.
But she was, you know, Judy Garland was really thin, and she was real thin. I mean, but she just had her facial expressions down and everything.
Well, they wouldn't have covered her as a young woman, right? Like Wizard of Oz, because she couldn't have pulled that off, right?
No, but it was a different girl, but they had some flashbacks. That's what they would do is they would had her like in the later 60s. That's how the story was primarily told. And then it would flash back to when she was a child, when she did The Wizard of Oz, and, you know, when she was growing up.
Joe, so, was she messed up, Joe? Or look, I mean, when you look at the whole of her life, was she kind of messed up?
She was really, I mean, she had a regimen. She really never had a childhood at all. She was turned over to the studio, and they had her on a treadmill between, you know, movies and appearances, and they put her on amphetamines and, you know, to lose weight, and then sleeping pills so she could sleep at an early age. And she was, at least the way it was portrayed in the movie, she was, you know, threatened, you know, on a regular basis with being dropped for just any other child actor. They said, you know, it was actually, was it Louis Mayer?
Studio said, exec, you know, or whatever?
Yeah. And, you know, he said, you're just, you know, you're ordinary looking, and you got fat ankles and this and that, but you got the voice, you know. But he kind of, at least the way it was portrayed in the movie, put her on notice that at any moment she could be dropped. And,
jeez.
Yeah, so she looked to have a really bad upbringing, abusive verbally, and then you know, she just got caught up in that life. And but the way, you know, what I found interesting in the movie, she was she seemed like kind of she seemed like a nice person, but just kind of, you know, lived such a screwed up existence that she couldn't help but be addicted to, you know, amphetamines and alcohol. And but the way she was portrayed, she was she had two young kids.
Minnelli?
She had a Liza Minnelli with Vincent Minnelli, but
right.
Then this Sid Luft, who was her.
Oh yeah, daughter. Lorna Luft, right?
Yeah. And a boy, a little boy, I think his name was Jeffrey, and. She was trying to save them. She was really down and out. The Sid Luft had gone through a lot of her money. And she had been married, I think, five times, maybe six times. And at that point, I think she was divorced from Sid Luft when the movie starts. And, you know, he's a gambler and, you know, womanizer and everything else. But so she goes over to England to perform, and that's kind of, you know, where the movie is. A lot of it takes place over there.
In England? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. In London. They sell off these shows in the States. You know, she got to be, you know, because of the addiction, she got to be very undependable. And that's probably the worst thing you could be as a performer, because they'd sell out these shows and she wouldn't be able to go on. But it seemed like, again, the way it was portrayed, she had her voice right until the very end. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, again, at the end of the movie is when she had died of an accidental overdose.
Yeah, very sad.
Yeah, so Tammy, like Tammy, she's, you know, she was born in 66, and I think Judy Garland died in 70, 69 or 70. So she really, and she really never, she knew really very little about her, mm-hmm. other than she was in The Wizard of Oz. And
yeah, she was good.
She goes, as, and Tammy's like lighthearted movies. So she went out of that movie. And I said, what'd you think of it? She goes, I hated it.
So if you and Tammy were Siskel and Ebert, Tammy would give it a thumbs down. What you'd give it a thumbs up?
I would. I mean, it was a good story. I mean, it was great acting. This Renee Zellweger, she did such a good job. It was great acting. And again, I like the fact that she was portrayed as, you know, with human frailties, but not a bad person. Like, you know, she was
she was
over there hustling these concerts because she was trying to get enough money to save her, you know, get a home for her kids and keep a stable upbringing, right. So she could get, you know, joint custody.
Mm. She never had a chance.
You're right. That's the best way to describe it. She never had a chance.
They grabbed her. The system grabbed her while she was young.
Yeah,
and just wouldn't let go. She never had a chance.
The
Hollywood scene.
Yeah.
I mean, she was America's sweetheart, The Wizard of Oz. Yeah, I mean, she just seemed so wholesome. And I remember the movie Meet Me in St. Louis. I mean, my daughters loved that movie. Right. And again, she was just, you know, she was just America's sweetheart at that time.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Yeah, it is. But I knew a little bit of what to expect, Tammy, and Ozzy.
Caught off guard.
It's the last movie she'd be going with you for a while, Coach.
Reminds me of when I was a kid and I went to the movies to see Spartacus.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how it was going to end.
Yeah.
And you were kind of bummed, huh?
I was saying, wow, man, I thought he was going to beat the Romans.
Exactly. Yeah. So, that's my movie review. Now, Jim, when you were gone, I did a movie review.
You did?
I said we were going to have a little twist on these movie reviews. We're going to do a current movie, and then I was going to have a flashback to an old movie and see if anybody knew and watched it. So I got one that... Pete and Tilly. Did you ever see that movie? It was back in the early 70s.
What was it? Pete and Tilly?
Pete and Tilly.
Yeah.
I
was thinking of Harold and Maude.
No.
Waller Matthau.
No, I was thinking the Petula Clark. Wasn't she in that?
No. This is Walter Matthau and Carol Burnett. But I saw it back, you know, again when it was out. And, it was kind of a quirky movie, but it was a good one. And I didn't know if either any of you guys had seen that.
Jim doesn't, obviously not.
No, I haven't seen it.
Stumped us on that one.
Yeah, you got it.
When you said the name,
I remember these different highlights from different movies. So the premise of this movie is Walter Matthau's like a confirmed bachelor, and Carol Burnett, I don't think she'd never been married, and they meet. They're probably in their 40s, and so they meet at a dinner party, and then they go start dating. And so she's very conservative, and he's, you know, a real joker, and, you know, again, goes out, he chases girls, and so anyways, they spent a night together finally after a period of time, and there's a scene where you can see she's waking up. She's in his apartment in his bed, and she hears his music playing. And she wakes up and she looks through the doorway, and he's sitting with his back to the doorway, naked as a jaybird, playing this upright piano, playing ragtime on this piano.
Walter Matthau, naked as a jaybird. That's not a pleasant thought.
He's sitting down, so you don't get to, you know, sit like you see a lot, but I think he was celebrating his evening. He's just playing ragtime to beat the band.
By the way, Walter Matthau is one of my all-time favorites. I think the guy's hilarious. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to see this movie just because it's a Walter Matthau I haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed him in every movie I've ever seen him in.
Yeah. Well, you'd like this movie. It's got some funny parts and it's got some sad parts, but, you know.
Pete and Tilly?
Yeah.
Is that it again?
Pete and Tilly, yeah.
What year would you say?
I think it was 1972, yeah.
Okay.
All right, but before the next time we get together, we'll all have to watch.
We're going to have to watch
Pete and Tilly.
Pete and Tilly. Hopefully, you can find it on Netflix or one of those streaming services.
We'll get the clip notes.
Yeah,
I'll watch it. It's Walter Matthau. I'm going to watch it.
Give us the executive summary.
Yeah,
I'll give you the executive summary. Or you guys might. They should do themselves a favor and watch it. Right? They'll get a few laughs. Right?
Sure, you watch it. Get Japanese subtitles on there.
Yeah, you need to watch it in Japan.
Oh, I got it.
All right, guys. Man, that was a bonus, a movie review. Yeah, didn't know what to expect. Two movie reviews.
This is, I don't know if this will make the show, but my wife Tammy's made me promise that our son John is selling Cutco cutlery and knives, so it's a presentation in your home. So if anybody out there listening, this will go viral. I said he'll never probably have to quit school after this year. His phone will be ringing off the hook.
Yeah,
they could be our new sponsor.
He'll be the knife.
Brought to you by Cutco Knives.
That's what we'll do for him. We'll make him a sponsor.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
For your Cutco knife needs. Contact John O'Connor, right?
Yeah. I had to remove all the Cutco cutlery after Tammy watched that movie. It was so depressing.
Oh, yeah. Lock up the knives.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jim, maybe some of your friends you met over there, if they were interested in some Harry Carey, we'd get some good.
That's right. That's right. Next time I'm telling a Japanese story, I say, and speaking of Harry Carey,
I've got this friend.
The last thing you want is a dull blade.
That's right.
At this crucial moment in your life. You don't want your blade to fail you.
No, you don't. You want
maybe you could do a commercial.
You want a clean cut, baby.
You want a clean clean. You need a sharp,
sharp edge.
One sharp edge for a clean cut.
What?
You don't want to be doing it twice.
No, you don't. Oh, you don't. There you go. We've got. Not only can are we going to let you them advertise, we've got your
tagline.
You got your tagline. Yeah. You don't want to do it. Cut it twice.
And we got a commercial. We got a commercial. The makings of a commercial lineup as well.
That's right. That's right.
With international opportunity.
Yeah, we just made this a global market.
A global market.
John's market globally. Yeah.
He can thank us later.
Yeah, tell John not to go to school tomorrow. His career is just set.
Yeah, we're setting up the phone bank right now.
Well, on that note.
All right.
Kim's been lobbing a couple missiles. It doesn't look too good right now.
Doesn't look too good right now.
I would say sleep with both eyes open.
Oh,
sorry.
Jeez, restless nights. Dr. Jim's got, it looks like it's only about 5 pages.
No.
Coach, you're good.
I am going to read a saying from Master Suzuki. He's a Zen master.
Zen master Suzuki?
Zen master Suzuki.
I went to his... He has a museum in Kanazawa, the Zen Museum, and I went to the Zen Museum. So I have a list of sayings, and I think instead of using my usual sign-off, I think I'll sign off with a saying.
So this is the, his
this is one
top
of his
10
sayings.
One is, this is his best one.
I don't know if it's his best one. He's got some pretty good ones. We have enough.
Right, so we got
some for future shows.
We have enough for a few shows.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Okay. You ready, guys? Here it is. Here's some wisdom from Master Suzuki. We have two eyes to see two sides of things, but there must be a third eye with which we will see everything at the same time and yet not see anything.
I can see why he was the Zen master.
I think these Zen masters are a little overinflated.
That is to understand Zen. So you must contemplate this saying. I'll put it on the website.
Yeah, okay. So
we might have to. Yeah, we might have
basically
to.
Basically, you got three eyes, but you can't see anything.
Yeah,
isn't that what he just said?
The third eye to see everything, but you can't see anything.
You can see the things you can see with are deceiving. The third eye sees everything, but it can't see anything.
Okay. When you understand that, you understand Zen.
Okay. All right. Coach, can you top that?
Well, the only thing that comes to mind is sayonara.
All right, guys. We'll catch you next time.
If you can find a better podcast, listen to it.